Father, we thank you for this wonderful time. We pray, God, for this time we have together, that you'll bless it, sanctify it. You'll set it apart for thy use and for thy glory. God, open our hearts and minds to thy word. And God, may we be sensitive, be tendered to the Holy Spirit of God, be led by him. We pray if any is lost, undone without Jesus Christ, that this will be the day of salvation for them. May they come to give their life to Christ. Lord, we thank you. In Jesus Christ's name I pray. Amen. If you will, take your Bibles and turn with me to the book of Mark, to the Gospel of Mark, chapter 5. Gospel of Mark, chapter 5. We have a wonderful book in our hands called the Bible. It's made up of 66 books, and it takes all 66 books to make the whole. Every book of the Bible consists of a picture or a story of Jesus Christ, and it gives us a written revelation of him to us. This is God's letter to man. And we have here Mark, one of the gospel records. This is Christ is pictured in Mark as the perfect servant. He's pictured in Mark as an ox, as the perfect servant, the servant of the Lord Jesus Christ. But look here, if you would, Mark chapter 5, and let's read the first 15 verses together and ask the Lord to speak to our hearts as we read, that we'll see what God has for us. It says here in Mark chapter 5, verse 1, "And there came over to the other side of the sea, unto the country of the Gadarenians. And when he was come out of the ship, immediately there met him out of the tomb a man with an unclean spirit, who had his dwellings among the tombs. And no man could bind him, no, not with chains, because that he had been often bound with fetters and chains. And the chains had been plucked asunder by him, and the fetters broken in pieces. Neither could any man tame him. And always, night and day, he was in the mountains and in the tombs, crying and cutting himself with stones. But when he saw Jesus afar off, he ran and worshipped him, and cried with a loud voice and said, What have I to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of the Most High God? I adjure thee by God that thou tormentest me not. And he said unto him, Come out of the man, thou unclean spirit. And he asked him, What is thy name? And he answered, saying, My name is Legion, for we are many. And he besought him much that he would send them away out of the country. Now there was there nigh unto the mountains a great herd of swine feeding. And all the devils besought him, saying, Send us into the swine, that we may enter into them. And forthwith Jesus gave them leave. And the unclean spirits went out and entered into the swine. And their herd ran violently down the steep place into the sea. They were about 2,000 and were choked in the sea. And they that fed the swine fled and told it in the city and in the country. And they went out to see what it was that was done. And they come to Jesus and see him that was possessed with the devils and had the legion sitting and clothed in his right mind. And they were afraid." There's something unique here about Mark chapter 5. It mentions three things that torments our nation, that torments humanity, that torments us. The first thing Mark chapter 5 mentions is the devil. This man was possessed by demons. The Bible says he is possessed by demons, and the demon says we're a legion. There was about 6,000 of these unclean spirits, of these demonic spirits inside this man. I don't understand a lot of that, but I do know that a demonic spirit can overtake a person, can overtake their life and control their life to a certain aspect. You say, can a Christian be possessed by the devil? Well, the Bible says that you get saved, that Christ moves in, and greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. Now, you can be tempted by the devil and his demons. You can be tricked by the devil and his demons, but I don't think a Christian can be possessed, because you already belong to Jesus Christ. But the first torture we have, the first terror we have, is a demon here in this Gospel of Mark. The second thing we have is disease. You can find that disease here in Mark chapter 5. A woman was diseased with the issue of blood for 12 years. My friend, and then the next thing you can find is death. A child died. My friend, it mentions a demon, it mentions disease, it mentions death. I believe the three things that terrorizes our nation. But it also mentions a man, a woman, and a child. I believe it don't matter what situation you're in, it don't matter who you are, maybe you might be a man possessed by a demon, God still can save you. You might be a woman who has an infirmity or have a disease by the world, but God still can save you. You might be a child, and the Bible says that this child was dead. This child has died, and all of us is dead spiritually. My friend, the moment we realize what sin is, the Bible says you who are dead in sins and trespasses and sins, this dead child come back to life because of Jesus Christ. Three great pictures of what Christ can do for a sinner when they put their faith and trust in Him. I want to deal with the first one this morning. The man that was demon-possessed. It says here, if you would, in verse 2, and when he was come out of the ship, immediately there met him out of the tombs a man with an unclean spirit. My friend, we don't see it like Jesus Christ sees it. We'll look here at the man in just a few minutes. This man was demon-possessed. This man, no doubt, was nasty and despicable and probably hard to look at and probably hard to be around. And no doubt, my friend, the situation, the lifestyle he was in, he probably smelled bad. He probably was dirty and filthy and nasty. He was not a good company to have. You would not trust this man. You would not allow this man into your house. You would not trust this man with your family. You would not even probably invite this man into our own church and have him to sit beside us in the pew. But Jesus Christ said, he saw a man. He saw a man. I want you to look at verse 2, what struck my heart. The Bible says, and immediately he was come out of the ship, and immediately there met him out of the tombs a man with an unclean spirit. Here Jesus Christ saw this maniac of Gadara. He saw this maniac man, but he said, hey, he's still a man that has a soul, that needs to be saved, that needs to hear Christ, that needs to hear about salvation. My friend, it might be a harlot who walks the street. It might be a dope head who pushes pills to young boys and girls. It might be old drunk, my friend, but there's still a person. It's still a man. It's still a woman who needs to hear of the saving power of Jesus Christ. I'm glad when they saw me, they didn't see who I was. Jesus Christ saw a man that needed to hear the good news. When Jesus Christ saw you, he looked past your sins. He looked past your filth. He looked past your wickedness and saw deep down on the inside that there's a man or a woman that needs to be saved. I want to preach for just a few minutes. There met him a man. There met him a man. Jesus Christ looked beyond what was on the outside and looked on the inside and realized there's a man that needed to be saved. I want you to see the man this morning. Look here, verse 2. The Bible says that he was a man that had an unclean spirit. He was unclean, my friend, and that's account for all of us that was lost in our sins on the way to a devil's hell. The Bible says my righteousness, my goodness, the best I can do is just a filthy rag in the sight of God. Hey, my friend, this man had an unclean spirit, and so did we, and so did you, and so did I, and so did my wife, and so do our children until they got saved, until they place their faith and trust in Jesus Christ. We'll see this man, this maniac man with the unclean spirit, but he represents all of us because all was born into sin and shaping in iniquity. All of us, the Bible says, come forth out of our mother's womb speaking lies. We've got babies in the nursery this morning. There's never been a mama or daddy who's ever taught their baby how to lie. But the babies know how to lie. You say, how's that, Pastor? You get a little baby in your arms, and a little baby loves being in mama's and daddy's arms, and as soon as you lay the baby down in the crib, they start crying. That crying tells you there's something wrong. Maybe their diaper's hurting them, or maybe there's something in the crib that's not quite right, and the baby starts crying. Maybe the baby's hungry. Maybe the baby needs his diaper changed. Maybe there's something that's hurting the baby. You go up and pick the baby up, and immediately they stop crying. It wasn't nothing hurting the baby. All they wanted was for mom and daddy to hold them again. The baby learns from a little child how to get what she wants, how to get what he wants by his tears. Somebody said tears is only a language that angels can understand. That baby starts crying. He's letting you know something's wrong, but there's really nothing wrong. Hey, this man had an unclean spirit, like all of us, my friend. Hey, we're unclean. We're unclean. We're filthy in the sight of God, and there's nothing we can do about it. There's nothing we can do. I look at myself, and I wish I was better than I am. Now, thank God I'm not what I used to be. All that's under the blood of Jesus Christ has been rolled upon Christ on his cross at Calvary. And Christ took my sins so I could be a new creature in him. But my friend, I'm not what I should be in Jesus. And neither are you. I'm looking at myself, I'm looking at you, and I'm looking at this man who had an unclean spirit. The Bible says he was unclean. Look in verse 3, the Bible says, who had his dwelling among the tombs. This man lived around dead people. This man who was unclean lived around dead folks. Oh, I remember when I was lost, I know without Jesus Christ, I was unclean, and I lived around the death of the devil all the time. But I went to hell holes and tried to drink myself to happiness. I went to places I should have never been. All my life, I've been around dead folks. I've been around dead things. I've been around stuff that would just drag me down and bring me down and just give me death. The Bible says the wages of sin is death. Because of our sin, we have to die. This man who was unclean lived around dead people. He lived in the tombs. Can you imagine this man who was so out of control, so wicked, so vile, that they put him in the cemetery to live? He couldn't be around normal folks. He couldn't be around his family. He couldn't be around his friends. They outcast him. They put him out of the city limits. They put him out of the houses, out of the towns, and said, you have to live around dead folks. Well, that was our lives. We was living around dead things. Trying to get excitement out of the world. Trying to get pleasures out of the world. How many times you ever bought something and thought it was going to bring you happiness? Maybe you bought a brand new truck and say, boy, this is what I've been looking for, a brand new truck. And my friend, you loved it for the first week. And you loved it the second week. And you loved it the third week. But about a month or two later, it started getting dirty. And you had to wash it. You had to fill it up with gas. You had to tune it up. You had to repair it. You had to fix it. And pretty soon, that brand new truck that you love just become a big old headache. Maybe you found a nice diamond ring, ladies, that you love. Your husband placed it on your finger for you. And you just showed it off and said, I love it, I love it, I love it. I love it. You take that same diamond ring off your finger and put it in your shoe. And that same diamond ring that's so eloquent on your finger, that's so beautiful on your finger, in the bottom of your shoe, it hurts so bad because it's out of place, my friend. This man was living among dead people, among dead folks. And the Bible says all of us was born in shape and in iniquity. All of us was born in sin. I will read this Bible verse to you. It says here in Proverbs chapter 21, verse 16, the man that wandereth out of the way of understanding shall remain in the congregation of the dead. The man who takes no heed to God or God's word has his congregation among the dead. He lives among the dead. I want you to see the picture of this man. The Bible says in verse 3, he had his dwelling among the tombs. The Bible also says here in verse 3 and 4, look at it. The Bible says, and he had his dwelling among the tombs, and no man could bind him, not with chains. I think about that verse. I think about handcuffs. No man could bind him with chains. I think about this man probably was so out of order, so out of rule, my friend, that somebody had to call the cops and the police on him to get him arrested, to put him in jail. Every time he got locked up, it done no good. He just got out to do the same thing again. The Bible says here that his chains could not bind him. No doubt, Brother Jeff's a police officer. He could put handcuffs on any one of us, and all of us would be resisted by the handcuffs. But, my friend, you can never bind a person's heart and put cuffs on a person's heart and make them do what they should do without the power of Jesus Christ. These chains placed upon his hands could not bind him. Notice what the Bible says in verse 4. Because that he has been often bound with fetters and chains, and the chains has been plucked asunder by him, and the fetters broken in pieces, neither could any man tame him. Here this man often went to the police station and got bound by the chains. They put anklets on his ankles and put handcuffs on his wrist and placed him into a jail. But none of those things could help him out. My friend, when I was lost in my sins on the way to a devil's hell. What I done, I got could have got locked up for and put in prison, and that would have done no good. You can ask Brother Jeff. I don't know the statistics on this stuff, but I know if you get a man arrested and you put him in jail, I believe it's up to 50% of them go straight back to jail for almost the same thing they got put in jail the first time for. We go to prison. Brother Robert goes to prison and speaks and prays and try to witness to the lost. And me and Brother Jeff, we go to prisons and we preach and speak and witness to the lost, try to get them saved. Some of those men's in there for life. Some of those men will never see the outside of those prison bars again. And you ask them, have you learned your lesson? And most of them says no. If I get out, I'll do it again. I'll do it again. I'll do it again. This man here was bound with handcuffs, but it didn't help him. The Bible says in the last part of verse 4, and no man could tame him. I'm going to tell you, my friend, you might have a drunk to go to AA, but AA will not take care of his problems. Hey, you might have to go to a club that can help you with drugs, but my friend, that club will never help you with your problems. You might go to an organization that can help you with your addictions, but that organization can never help you with your problems. Only Jesus Christ can help you with your problems, because the problem is in the heart, and our problem is our heart, and only God can straighten our heart out. Only God can make a new creature out of every one of us. This man could not be tamed by any man. We get a person that has an addiction problem, we say, well, you go to this club and you go to that club and you go to this meeting and that meeting. The only thing that can help a man is Jesus Christ. I have no confidence in anything outside of the church house that tries to help a man to straighten his life up, to be the husband he should be, to be the father he should be, so she can be the mother and wife she should be. The only thing that can help a person out is God Almighty. Because you know what's wrong with us? Our heart. You say, well, preacher, if that hand didn't hold that beer, he'd be all right. If my heart was right, that hand wouldn't hold a beer. You say, a preacher, what's wrong with him is he pops them pills all the time. And if he just gets rid of the pills and gets some help, then he'll be all right, my friend. What he needs is a heart transplant. He needs a new heart. He needs someone to move in who's stronger and greater than he is, my friend, and takes up an abode in his heart and life and makes him a new creature in Christ Jesus. This man was unclean. This man lived around dead folks. This man was bounded by the world, but it did not help. This man cannot be tamed by any man. Well, he's a despicable person. You look at him, no doubt he lived around the dead folks. Can you imagine the stench that he would have? Can you imagine the filth that would be upon him? Can you imagine how dirty his clothes would be? Can you imagine the smell of his body? Could you imagine how scary he would be? He wouldn't be a person you would want as a neighbor, would he? He's not a person you would want to come to your house to be a babysitter, would he? He wouldn't be a person that you would invite over for Sunday lunch, would he? But you know what Jesus Christ did? When he stepped out of the boat, he saw a man that needed help. You know what? We get our eyes on the outside many times and say, well, if she'll do this, she'll be a whole lot better woman. If he'll do this, he'll be a whole lot better man. If he'll just do this and do that, or if she'll stop this and stop that, she'll be a whole lot better mother. He'll be a whole lot better father. My friend Jesus Christ, he said, what everybody needs is him. Needs Jesus. And sometimes we get our eyes on the outside and we say there's no hope for him. There's no hope for her. There's no hope for them. There's just no hope at all. We go to the so-called ghettos, the projects, the housing developments, and knock on doors. And there's little children come to the door, and they're halfway dressed, and they've not ate anything in just a few days, and they're just withering away. We give them a gospel tract and a vitamin church and try to talk to the mamas and daddies. You say, preacher, we could just feed them a good meal, that'd be all right. If we could just put clothes on them. If we could just put new shoes on her feet and give them a good education and take care of all their problems. All that we're making this world is a better place to go to hell from. What we need to do is get people saved, get them under the ground, up under the preaching of God's Word, and see their lives transformed and changed by the preaching and teaching of God's precious Word. This man was a man that lived among the tombs. Not often, probably went to jail. He had a long rap sheet. Everybody knew who he was. He was probably the meanest man in town. And they said, you can't live with us no more. You have to live in the tombs, in the cemetery. You can't be around your family no more. You're just too mean. You're just too wicked. We can't trust you. You have to move out and move away. But Jesus come to where he was. Hey, thank God Jesus come to where we was. Thank God Jesus come to where we was. Hey, not only the man, I want you to see here the measure. The measure. When this man first started off on his adventure of life, he never thought it would have took him so far. Sin would take you further than you can ever imagine you'll go. It'll keep you longer than you can ever imagine you would stay. And it'll make you pay more than you'd be willing to pay, my friend. Hey, sin is nothing to be playing around with. This man, but let's look at the measure. It says here in verse 5, and always, night and day, he was in the mountains and in the tombs crying and cutting himself with stones. I noticed that word always. It just wasn't occasionally, it was always. You ever heard this? Boy, the husband come home on maybe Sunday morning or Sunday night after being out all day on Friday and all day on Saturday and done spent all the grocery money and done spent all the light bill money. He comes home. He said, honey, I'm so sorry. I won't never do it again. I'll stay home. I'll be a good husband. I'll be a good father. And boy, he does good on Monday. He wakes up and goes to work and come home and love his wife and cherish his wife and help her in the house. And then Tuesday, he does the same thing. And Wednesday, he does the same thing. And then Thursday, my friend, Thursday starts coming around. He knows he's going to get a paycheck on Friday. He starts looking out the blinds and opening the door, making some phone calls. On Friday comes around, my friend. He knows the boss man going to give him his check. He's going to run down to the bank and cash it in and go out partying with the boys. He's done forgot the promise he's made. He done forgot what he told his wife he's going to do. Hey, you might could do good for 1 or 2 or 3 days or 1 or 2 or 3 weeks. You might even do good for about 5 or 10 years. But my friend, I'm going to tell you, if you never have your heart changed by Jesus Christ, you'll do good all you want to, but pretty soon it all run out. The Bible says this man was always night and day crying and cutting himself. He'd done good for a while, but then went right back to the same old thing. He'd done good for a while, then went right back to the same old thing. This man always, night and day, night and day. I want to tell you something, folks. You follow the devil as long as you want to, he's going to make you go further than you ever believe you'll go. And you'll be there night and day. You'll be trapped night and day. You'll be there always night and day, crying and cutting yourself. Boy, he's crying out. I wonder what he was saying, Brother Jeff. I wonder what he was saying as he was looking from the tombs and looking at his wife and maybe his children and maybe his friends and maybe his mom and daddy way over there in the city. I wonder what he was crying out. Was he taking their names in vain? Was he cursing his family? Was he crying out for help? Was he cursing his friends? Or was he crying out for help? I don't know, but the Bible says night and day he was crying. Maybe one day he'll wake up and say, I need some help. I need some help if you'll just take me back. I do right. I love you. I need some help. And then the very next day, take their name and curse them. Use all kind of foul language. You say, preacher, I won't never do that. I won't never curse my family. I won't never take my family for advantage. I won't never do this. I won't never do that. We all need to be careful. Every one of us could be doing that. From this preacher on down, from this preacher on down, if we're not under God's control every day, we could be in the same situation this man is, night and day. I could tell you preachers right now who's gotten caught up in the world, gotten caught up in drugs, and gotten caught up in alcohol, has gotten caught up in pornography, has gotten caught up in the deacons' wives and the outer churches now. They're living for the world now. You say, preacher, it won't never be me. You be careful saying that, because it could be any of us. It could be any of us that follows the devil down a long road to nowhere. The Bible says always, night and day, he was in the mountains and in the tombs crying and cutting himself. That's the measure. That's the measure. If you measure it up, if you measure it up, someone said, talking to someone, they said, well, what if when you get to the end of your life, you realize there's no Jesus Christ at all? You lived your life that way for no reason at all. Well, the response to that is, what if we get to the end of our life and there is a Jesus Christ? You lived your life the way you did, and you'll never know heaven as your home. I'm going to tell you, my friend, even though I know without a shadow of a doubt there is a heaven, there is a God, there is a Jesus Christ, and one day I'm going to have to stand in front of him and give an account for myself. But I'm going to just tell you, if there was no Jesus Christ and no heaven and no hell, I'd rather live the life I'm living now and have the peace and calm and assurance that I have now and just die and rot in a grave than to live for the devil, live for the world, and my friend, just take a chance on dying and having to meet God. I'm going to tell you, there is a God, there is a heaven, there is a hell, and every one of us, every one of you is going to have to stand before God and give an account of himself to the Lord for what you've done. Looking around as the choir was singing, people talking. I didn't say nothing about it, but I thought about what I heard. Everybody's going to be accountable for themselves, what they do. You come to church, you don't come to church, you're accountable for yourself, what you do. I'm going to have to give an account for myself, Scott Bass. You're going to have to give an account for yourself. The Bible says this always, not a day this man was in the mountains and in the tombs, crying and cutting himself. I showed you the man. I showed you the measure. I want to show you the message today. Look here, if you would. The Bible says in verse 6, but when he saw Jesus afar off, he ran and worshiped him. I don't want you to get the idea that this man, he had to come to where Jesus was to get saved. I want you to see what the Bible says here, if you would, in verse 1 and 2. The Bible says, and there came over unto the other side of the sea, unto the country of the Gadareans. And when he was come out of the ship, immediately there met him out of the tombs a man with an unclean spirit. I want you to know, Jesus Christ always takes initiative. Jesus Christ always takes the first step. Hey, Jesus Christ went into the ship and went into the sea and went into this country this man was living in. And when the man saw Jesus Christ, he went running to him. The best advice I can give you today, if you're lost without Jesus Christ, you come running to Jesus. You come running to Jesus. You come to Jesus, my friend. He's here. He's speaking to you. He wants you to come to him. And the Bible says here in verse 6, and when the man saw Jesus, do you see him today, friend? I'm going to tell you, you've tried everything in the world. You've tried everything else in the world, and it's never helped you. All it's done was hurt you. All the beers in the world can't help you. All the drugs in the world can't help you. All the newfangled things in the world can't help you. A good career, a lot of money, a big house, none of those things can help you when you take your last breath. The only thing that can help you, my friend, is Jesus. And do you see him today? Do you see him today with his arms spread wide, with him nailed on the cross of Calvary, in his humility, he was nailed to the cross of Calvary. He had his arms stretched out so the whole world could come to him. But he's not on the cross anymore. He's not in the tomb anymore. He's not walking amongst his disciples on this earth anymore. He's ascended up on high, sitting in heaven, holding up those nail-pierced hands now. And says, come unto me, all you that labor and heavy laden, and I give you rest. The Spirit and the bride says, come. And he that heareth says, come. My friend, the Bible says, come and take of the water of life freely. The Bible says, if you take the living water, you have this living water inside of you, my friend. It'll be a well of water springing up in everlasting life. The message is, do you see Jesus as your only hope for salvation? As your only satisfier that you can have in this world? I want to show you what happened to this man. I don't want to leave you at this point where this man was despicable, this man was disgusting, this man was an outcast. Look what the Bible says here in verse 15. And they come to Jesus, and seeth him that was possessed with the devil and had the legions sitting and clothed and in his right mind. This man who was possessed, this man who was living among the tombs, this man who went to all the jailhouses probably there was in Marion County, who went to all kind of rehab and never got any help. Once he saw Jesus, he ran to Jesus. Hey, Jesus saved his unworthy soul. And the next time you see him, you know what he's doing? The Bible says he's sitting. You know what sitting is? Sitting is a sign of rest. Rest. Can you imagine this man in a tomb? He's just pacing back and forth and saying, if I could just get out, if I could just go home, if I could just change my life, if I could just do it all over again, if I could just have one more chance, if I could just say one more word, if I could just take it back, if I could just do it again. And then he saw Jesus, and Jesus came to where he was. He ran to Jesus. Hey, Jesus saved a sinner. And the next time you see this man, he's just sitting there because he's restful. The Bible says, all you that labor and heavy laden, come unto me, and I'll give you rest. You can't work for it, beloved. You can't earn it. You can't buy it. You can't achieve it. All you can do is receive it by receiving Christ and his precious blood. And once you get saved, you can sit down and realize, hey, God's doing the great work that needs to be done in your life. It's not me putting on the right clothes. It's not me doing the right things. It's me depending upon Christ. And Christ changing my life, transforming my life, making me a new creature in Christ Jesus. The Bible says he was sitting and clothed. Not only did he have rest, but his outward appearance was different. Oh, I believe the Lord Jesus Christ maybe took out a spiritual wash rag, washed the dirt off his face, cleaned him up a little bit. Said, you don't need that dirt and slime and grime on you no more. You're one of my children. Maybe he took out a spiritual hairbrush and brushed his hair and cut it off like a gentleman should have and say, hey, there's no need for you looking like the world anymore. I'm going to clean you up. I'm going to fix you up. And I'm going to do it from the inside out. Amen. God saves a man on the inside and transforms the outside. He's sitting clothed. And I like this part. The last Bible part says, in his right mind. In his right mind. He had the mind of Christ. He was a new creature in the Lord. He wasn't what he used to be. He was someone different. He was someone different. But let me share this with you. Those people who say this Gadarenian maniac that could not live with us, that could not stay with us, we could not trust him, we don't want to help him, we've been in prison, we tried all kinds of things, he's just not worth salvaging. So they put him in the tombs. Notice what the Bible says here in verse 15. The Bible says he is sitting and clothed in his right mind. And they were afraid. Who was those people? Those people who saw what took place in this man's life, whose swine was drowned in the sea. They went running back to the country, told the countrymen what happened. And all those countrymen where this man used to live, all them countrymen come to see this man who's just gotten saved, who's sitting at the feet of Jesus, who now has got clothes on and in his right mind. And the Bible says that they was afraid. They was still afraid of this man after he got saved. I'm going to tell you something. Those people who talks about you and who runs you down and tells you that you're no good for nothing before you get saved is the same people who's going to talk about you and run you down and call you a Bible thumper the day you do get saved. So don't live your life for no one else. Live it for Jesus Christ. Those ones who used to talk about me before I got saved and say he was no good for nothing, he's just a hillbilly drunk who's going to die and go to hell, is the same one who talks about me today as I take the authorized King James Bible and tells them how to be saved. They said he's nothing but just a holy roller, a Bible thumper, just nobody. Hey, don't listen to that preacher. I'm going to tell you, my friend, don't live your life for them. Live your life for him. Jesus Christ, the man, is not someone we would want to have. But Jesus Christ looked beyond the outward appearance and looked at something on the inside and said, this man needs Jesus. And when he met Jesus, his whole life was changed. You need your life to change. You say, preacher, my life's out of hand. My life's out of control. My life is not what it should be. And I'm going to tell you the truth. You prayed every prayer you could think of. You went to every rehab you could think of. You've trusted in everything else you could think of. But you've never really depended upon Jesus Christ as your Savior. Won't you do that today? Won't you come today and say, "Preacher, I've tried everything in the world, and nothing's ever helped me." I promise you this, if you'll come to Jesus, don't try him, you trust him. If you'll come and trust Jesus, he'll make your life different. He'll make your life new. He'll make your life something you can never imagine it would be. But it all is going to take place in Jesus Christ if you'll just come to him and trust in him. You said, "Preacher, I've gone too far." This man, probably we would have looked at him and said, "He's gone too far now. He's probably killed somebody. He couldn't live with his wife or children anymore. They put him in the tombs." Jesus Christ said, "He ain't went too far. I still can save him. I still can save him." You say, "Preacher, I've not been good to my children. I've not been the mother I should be to my children." Hey, God can still save you. Hey, God can give you a fresh start. God can give you a new start. You say, "Preacher, I've not been good to my wife. I've not been the father, the husband, the son I should be." Hey, if you come to Jesus, hey, Jesus, my friend, he'll forgive your past and give you a brand new future if you'll just come and trust in the Lamb of God that was slain from the foundation of the world. The Bible says, "Look to Jesus and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth, for there is one God, there is one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus." If you come to Jesus, he'll save you today, make a new creature out of you. Then you know what you can do? You can go home and sit down. Whew. I'm glad that's over. I'm glad I don't have to worry about dying tonight and going to hell. I'm saved. And then God starts dressing you up. I'm not talking about with the wingtips shoes and a brand new suit. I'm talking about he starts dressing you up with joy. Start having a smile on your face. Everybody smile one time. Yeah. You get saved. Go to work smiling. Go to work whistling. You go to the supermarket and just have a joy, a radiance about you. And people look at you and say, "Yeah, that's one of them. I know it by just looking at her. She's one of them." You ever done that? I did before I got saved. Go to Piggly Wiggly, go to Walmart. You can look at him and say, "Yep, that's one of them. I ain't even going to go by her. I know she's going to talk to me about Jesus. She's going to invite me to church. I'm just going to go the other way." And you start going the other way, and there's a sister right in front of you. They done cornered you. You can be one of them. Always smiling. Always happy. Say, "Preacher, you don't ever have no problems." You come back. You come back tonight, I tell you my problems. We sat down for about 20 hours. I tell you all my problems. I got problems just like you got problems. I've got trouble just like you got trouble. I've got worries and frets just like you got worries and frets. But my friend, I realize my God has everything under control. And if I just depend and rest and look upon him, he satisfies his children. I might not be rich, might not be famous, might not be wealthy, healthy, and wise, but I'm saved. I've got heaven as my home. I've got the greatest life I can ever live now in Jesus Christ. If you need to be saved, won't you come to him? Won't you come to Jesus? He's calling you today if you'll just come to him. Would you stand with me and pray? Ask the Lord to help us. With heads bowed, our eyes closed. The invitation begins here in just a few minutes. Would it be one? You need not to raise your hand. But is there one in our service this morning that says, "Preacher, I need to trust in Christ as my Savior. I've never been saved. I don't know this rest and this satisfaction, this comfort you can have. I don't know what you mean that your life is at peace now because of Jesus Christ." I'm going to tell you, when the invitation starts, if you'll come and receive Christ as your Savior, you'll know all about what I'm talking about today. If you need to be saved, won't you come forward? If you need help, won't you come forward? Maybe there's someone in our church service that needs to be a member of this church. You've been saved. Maybe you need to get baptized. You need to get that out of the way. You need to get baptized. Be a member of this church. We encourage you during this invitation. Won't you come forward and make that known? But above all, if you need to be saved, won't you come receive Christ? Father, I love you this morning. We pray now that you'll help us. During this invitation time, as the music begins, would you put in people's hearts the desires that you want them to have? Lord, I pray for those who need to be saved, would they come receive Christ as their Savior. We have Brother Jeff who can talk to another man. We have Brother Robert and other men, Brother Pete and other men in our church services who can talk to men and tell them how to trust in Christ as their Savior. And we have women who can talk to women on how to trust Christ as their Savior. I pray they do that this morning. They've not gone too far yet. They've not gone too far yet. God, you spoke to their heart today. They still can be saved if they come to trust in Jesus. And God, for those who's been saved, who might need to be baptized, who might need to join this church, put their influence here in this church, I pray, God, you put that desire in their hearts. May they be obedient to it. Lord, help us now in this invitation time. In Jesus Christ's name, I pray. Amen. As the invitation begins, the altar's open. If you need to be saved this morning, won't you come? If you need to trust in Christ this morning, won't you come? Brother Jeff, get down here in front of this table, if you will. If you're a man in our church service this morning, you need to be saved. Brother Jeff is right down here. He'll take the Bible and show you how to trust in Christ if you need to be saved. If you need to be saved, won't you come right now? If you're a lady, we'll take the Bible and show you how to be saved. Won't you come right now, beloved? As God's dealing with your heart, as God's speaking to you right now, why don't you come and trust in Christ as your Savior? You've not gone too far yet. If God's speaking to your heart, if God's spoken to your heart this morning, and you know you need to trust in Christ, why don't you come right now as God's dealing, as the Holy Ghost is trying to move you out of the pew? Won't you stop gripping onto the pew? Won't you get your hands out of your pockets and come and receive Christ as your Savior? Come to trust in Jesus Christ right now as the Holy Ghost is speaking. How about you, Mama? Do you need to be saved? Won't you come? We've got ladies here that can show you how to be saved, show you how to trust in Christ, show you how to be a brand new mama. Won't you go home with this rest, this joy, this peace that you need by trusting in Jesus? Won't you come? How about you, beloved? You've been saved, but now you need to be baptized. You need to trust in Christ and be baptized. Won't you come and do that? Or maybe be a member of this church and put your influence here at Open Door. Won't you come and do that? Won't you let God lead you on what you should do next in your Christian life? Don't do it just because I'm asking. You do it because that's the leading of God in your own life. Let me ask you this. Your head is bowed, your eyes still closed. You've not made your way to this altar this morning. But you know you're lost. You know you're lost without Jesus Christ and you're on your way to a devil's hell. But you want us to pray for you. You want the preacher to pray for you that God will continue to help you and have mercy on you. And that you hear the gospel again and have another chance to put your faith and trust in Christ. If you're here this morning, you say, "Preacher, I need you to pray for me because I'm lost." Would you just slip your hand up for me? Let me see it so I can know who to pray for. Say, "Preacher, I'm going to slip my hand up because I'm lost." I see that hand. God bless you. Is there another preacher you pray for me? I'm lost. I know I need to be saved, and I need your prayers. Real quick, anybody else? "Preacher, you pray for me. You pray for me." Father God, we love you. We thank you for being so good, so faithful to us for a wonderful Sunday morning service. Pray, God, you bless the service again tonight. For those who has raised their hand and said, "Preacher, pray for me, I'm lost." I want to pray for them now, and I pray for them again today. But I pray, God, you open their hearts up for salvation. May they come to know Christ as their Savior, and may they do it soon before it's eternally too late. And for those who believe in our church service this morning, they've not raised their hand. They've not acknowledged that they was lost, but they are. I pray, God, you have mercy on them. And God, that you'll continue to speak to their hearts. And God, would you help us not to give up on them? May we see through the outward appearance and look upon the heart and realize that it's a man, a woman, a boy, or a girl that needs to be saved. and we can lead them to the Savior. Lord, help us tonight as we come back once again to receive.